Welcome to the Easy EdTech Podcast with your host, Dr. Monica Burns.
Hi there, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former classroom teacher and now I spend my time sharing tips, strategies, and activity ideas to make EdTech integration easier in your classroom. You may be familiar with my books like Tasks Before Apps or my blog, classtechtips.com. Whether we've met at a conference or special event, you've followed along with my EdTech tips for years, or simply joining in for the first time today, I'm so glad you're here. In this bite-sized podcast, you'll get some quick info and actionable tips to energize and elevate teaching and learning. You can head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast, for all of the show notes. That's where you'll find the transcript for each episode, links to resources, and any of the free downloads I mention. In this episode, we'll talk about the Adobe Creative Educator Program. If you've followed along for a while, you know I love the Spark tools from Adobe and have worked with their team. If you'd like my free graphic organizers for creating videos with students, go to classtechtips.com/sparkplan. Or send me a message on Instagram and I'll get you the link. This week's podcast is titled, How Every Teacher Can Be a Creative Educator. I am so excited to have Rebecca Hare on the podcast today. Rebecca is a friend and fellow Apple Distinguished Educator, and we first met at the FETC conference several years ago. She is an author, Adobe Education Leader, and I can't wait for you to hear her perspective, tips, and strategies on how every teacher can be a creative educator. Let's jump in. Well, Rebecca, I'm so excited to have you on the podcast today. And I know I gave a little bit of an intro and talked about your work, but I'm hoping you can share a bit about your role in education and what you've been up to.
Oh, thanks, Monica. It's so nice to be here. It's been, you know, crazy time. So my role in education is definitely not a traditional one and not a traditional trajectory. So right now I teach full-time high school. Art and design. But the road that led me here was being an industrial designer with a design agency and then a creative director with a magazine in Italy and Switzerland. And I just got really fascinated with education because I was hiring all of these young designers to be interns. And I found like they couldn't think creatively. And they wanted me to give them specific tasks and tell them exactly what to do. And I wanted them to be thought partners. And I realized that I complained to all my family, who's an entire family full of educators. And I was like, I can't believe these kids, like, why aren't they ready? And they were like, well, you know, if you think that's important, maybe you need to change something about it. So I got that bee in my bonnet, which is an odd one, and decided to get my master's in teaching. And I changed up the whole program and made it so that I got to do a thesis and a research project on creativity and to see whether or not like learning certain methods of thinking could enhance someone's creativity. So it took me on this incredible journey of understanding creativity. Like, remember, Monica, I was the art kid, you know, who grew up in like, my dad was like, you're never going to make any money. This is a useless field. And then got my degree as a designer. I worked as a designer. I got paid for my ideas and I thought I got creativity. And then I did this project for my thesis and was like, oh, I really only understand a small part of it. It's so much bigger. It's so much deeper. It's so much a part of every person on the planet. And it changed the way I thought about it. So I got so excited about what I learned about it that as I began teaching, I was telling other educators about it and doing like little like pop-up workshops. Like one time at ISTE, I just stood there like in a hallway and was sharing this to some friends. Like it was that like very, very scrappy kind of fun thing. And so I've taught pre-K through two. I got to teach science for a year and I was a design specialist with a school in Florida. That was K-8. I taught middle school art. And then I've been teaching for the past 3 years, high school art and design. So it's been a really interesting thing. And every day with my students, my professional background comes up. And I every lesson plan, every experience I design for them, I want to make sure that they are really future ready. And that's so much more than just like knowing curriculum. It's a whole set of skills, and developing their creativity for me is forefront in that.
I love that. I just love the perspective from the workplace too, right? So making sure that things really go along with some of your observations in the sense of, you know, is the work in the classroom relevant and authentic? Is it helping them build those skills that might not normally be kind of on a checklist, or that might be front of mind for other people who might be kind of just focused in on the content or the curriculum or moving through things with, of course, the best intentions, but having that sort of perspective of what isn't there, you know, out in a field where you think creativity would be front and center in a, you know, in a design role. And so,
I would say it's so funny because when I meet parents for like back to school nights, or, you know, I don't know if this is going to be virtual this year, I'm always like, I don't really care about the artwork that your kids make. It's all great. It's all beautiful. I just care that they're going to walk away with here with these serious skills to help them in any job. They're going to be able to come up with ideas. They're going to be able to give feedback to other people about their ideas. They're going to know how to present information. They're going to look critically. They're going to think critically about their work. They're going to collaborate and communicate. And it's that I'm developing the most, that the art pieces, those are definitely secondary to me as like what my goal is. Cause I want kids to be creative in every endeavor in their life.
And all of those skills that you just said, you know, have nothing to do with an art classroom in its kind of own sort of space, right? You know, those are things that come into all of the content areas, all of the subject areas. And so I'd love for you to just share a little bit about what that term creative educator means to you, right? When it is something that someone might hear and say, well, I'm not a creative educator because I don't teach art or music, right? I teach social studies, or I teach elementary, right? Or all those things that, you know, are kind of a myth around this idea of creativity. If someone is going to, you know, ask you that question or kind of push back at you when you use that term creative educator, you know, how do you describe that term, and how do you make sure everyone knows that that can mean them too?
Well, it absolutely means everybody. What's so neat about really digging into creativity is we learn that it's just our brains doing what it does. Like, that's what the brain was designed to do. It makes connections between different ideas. It comes up with new ways of seeing the world. That is how we are designed to be as humans. So you might not feel confident as a creative educator. It might be something that you think belongs to somebody else, but that is your birthright. Everyone is. And so with educators, where we like to support them right now, and what we're doing with the Adobe Creative Educator Program in particular, is first of all, just building awareness around creativity and what it is, how to recognize it in students, how to foster an environment in which creativity can flourish, how to, you know, eventually design it from the beginning of a learning experience all the way through your assessments, and really like how to continue to develop that throughout your career and, you know, your students' careers. But one lens I like to really think about that in is, you know, you can teach creatively, and that means like you're doing really incredible lesson plans. Kids are getting, you know, they're kind of blown away, and that's so wonderful. But there's also teaching for creativity. And that's in which you've designed experiences that your kids get to do the work. They get to do the creative work. And in my perfect, wonderful world, you are doing creative teaching and your kids are doing the creative work. So that's what it should be, that everyone gets to do this creative work. So we want to keep make sure that we're not having teachers make incredible videos and, like, you know, this like shiny things that are super beautiful and creative, and then the kids do traditional learning. We want it to be both. So, I think, so one really supports the other, but in an ideal world, kids would get both of those things.
Yeah. Cause I think sometimes we kind of, you know, as educators, right, as a former classroom teacher, right, I know I have that kind of mindset of, oh, I want to do this thing and we're going to develop this whole project. And it's, you know, it's coming from that place of just myself, right, and then projecting it onto the group, as opposed to really being thoughtful to say, am I bringing in brainstorming and problem solving and having kids give feedback to one another and then create something completely new? And that's really an important part of it too. So I'm so glad that you mentioned both pieces, because I think it would help someone identify kind of where they are, you know, in their own growth of just fostering creativity and facilitating an environment where something like that can help, you know, take place with their students. And so we're recording this, you know, on the same day as the launch of the Adobe Creative Educator Program. And so it's been wonderful. I'm a founding crew member as well. I've done some work, of course, with the Spark team and love all things Adobe. And it's been really exciting to see the development of this program, what other people in the kind of founding members have been up to. But can you tell us a little bit about what the program, the Adobe Creative Educator Program, is about and how you've been involved in it?
Well, it's I'm really excited for this program because it's not just for people who use Adobe products. That's not the way it was designed. You don't have to know Photoshop to be an Adobe Creative Educator. Like you said, you can get into Spark, which is free and one of the most powerful and intuitive tools I've ever seen. And, you know, I got so angry when I first saw Spark because I went to like 5 years of design school and I was like, what? What? Like, people can make amazing things, but they don't have to learn every single tool and be like really well versed in it. So I have a, you know, a love hate relationship with Spark. Mm-hmm. I actually, you know, my students use it. It's phenomenal, but it's so powerful and so intuitive and so responsive and builds in principles of design. But what happened for me is that I was brought in as an educator and a collaborator to kind of think through what the course looks like, what the materials are around this. And Clara and Tani brought me in. So I've been collaborating with them, I think, since January. So we've, you know, written the scripts, we've picked people to interview, we've designed this experience. And what's so neat about this is, you know, in order to become an Adobe Creative Educator, you take a self-paced course, which lasts 1 hour, and they are videos, and they are really great. I am so proud of them. We have educators from around the world. We went through and really figured, like, we sifted through the research, what all the pieces are. If you are like an expert in creativity, you will watch this and these series of 5 minute videos that go from like what creativity is all the way down to, you know, like how do you assess creativity? And it's high level. It's getting you excited about it. Oh, my Siri is trying to, she's like, tell me how. I'm going to take this course right now. I'm going to accidentally involve Siri. I think my iPad got left open. Sorry, let me close that up real quick. And so you take this course and then you are asked to create an artifact. And that artifact is, you know, what is your mission as a creative educator? We have a couple of different prompts. And then you share that out, you turn that in, and then you are a part of the Adobe Creative Educator community. And that is what is exciting because we've been creating all of these resources that you get as an Adobe Creative Educator. So I'm still working on this deck of more than 80 prompts to take you through our creative process. So things that you can give to students to bring into any learning experience that's going to help build their creative thinking skills and also be a way that they can document that creative process and guide them through the process. So we've been thinking what can happen at like with any teacher at any grade level to enhance creativity in any subject.
Yeah. And, you know, it's so interesting because I was on a call with you a couple weeks ago and you were sharing some project ideas. And just the one thing that you shared, it was a Spark thing about how your students made book covers and how they made 3 of them. I don't know if I'm butchering this story.
No, that's exactly right.
So I just loved how they made 3 of them because so many times when we think about like there's a project and then this is the thing, right? And yeah, maybe there's feedback and process and, you know, that goes through, you know, as kids are working on things. But just the idea that that last step before, you know, I'm turning something in or making a decision is having those 3 iterations of that thing was just so powerful to see, you know, all of those lined up because I think, you know, when I saw that, the first thing I thought of was this is something that is so doable for someone who is trying out this idea of what it means to infuse creative experiences into a classroom. You know, instead of having kids just think about it the one time, like let them go through those multiple iterations and just the amount that's going to happen right there with their own critical thinking skills, the way that they'll have conversations, evaluating their work and their peers' work is just automatically like elevated right there. And so it's really exciting to see some of the resources you all pulled together. And, you know, I think that one of the things that resonated with me is that it was not kind of over my head, right? Or it wasn't things that felt really subject area specific. the ideas felt very applicable to multiple subject areas. Now, you know, and that kind of leads me into the question of asking, have you found any folks that maybe are in a math classroom or a STEM classroom or in a classroom that they might not identify themselves as being super creative? Have you found anyone kind of have an aha moment like that as well?
Oh yeah, it's been fun because for the pre-launch for this program, I took what was in the course and then created, and that's what we experienced together a few weeks ago, created a different kind of story to tell, like how we couldn't involve everyone's voices. So I told it through like one lens. So you had that whole experience. And we've had so many educators say things like, wow, I didn't know that pertained to me. I didn't know that this was for me. I didn't know that actually, I've been doing this creative work this whole time. And that's why I think it's so important that we learn how to recognize it, how to call creativity, you know, just through thinking originality, how kids elaborate and do deep work, how kids, you know, appropriately like have the right goal in mind. All of these kinds of things help us recognize it when it's happening so that we can support it. And just like you said, with the book cover, you know, that was during our distance learning, and I was scrambling. My whole curriculum had to change. We went from, you know, having Mac lab to being on Chromebooks, and I had to rethink what the most important thing that my students learned would be. And it's of course developing the four C's and their critical thinking, their collaboration. And that shifted my thinking with that. And with Spark, you can make so many of something. Mm-hmm. And that's how you would do it in the real world. And with education, so often it's like, we want them to do something creative. It's 30 minutes on Friday. It's the cherry on top of it. It's a poster at the end of a project. Creativity should be infused from the moment a learning goal is determined. It should be embedded in the learning goal. It should be the outcome. We should be scaffolding it all the way through a lesson plan, a learning experience, a unit. You know, it should be something that it's not additive. It's what drives our learning.
Yes. And so, you know, that idea of making some shifts around distance learning, right, and this remote learning and things that have happened kind of all of a sudden this spring, and now we're planning more thoughtfully for, you know, late summer into fall into the new school year with still a lot of unknowns. You know, what does creativity look like when you're learning at a distance? You shared a great example of infusing the four C's. Do you have some recommendations for people who might be rethinking an activity or just really conscious of the fact that they don't want their students to be in consumption mode all the time, but creating things and trying things out and collaborating, even if they aren't side by side with a friend or a classmate?
Yeah, and there are so many ways in which we can connect those things, right? The first thing I would recommend to do is to really slow down and, mm-hmm. you know, make the goals, the learning goals and like the benchmarks, make them frequent and clear. And so we're going to do this little piece and we chunk things into small little sections. So it's not make an entire video. It's like first you're going to watch 5 videos that are really great and reflect on what is powerful about them, what you can learn. You know, that's observing. That's actually working on your observational skills, which are completely connected. You know, and before you even begin that, you want to know why you're making a video. I've had so many kids come to me and say, like, I'm supposed to do this. I'm like, why? They're like, I don't know. My teacher told me. And if we're missing the mark, and this is what, you know, builds into the define, create, reflect process. If you do not know, have purpose before you begin to create, you're not going to create anything of value. And if you don't have purpose in your learning, you're not going to learn anything at all. So that has to be explicit to students why they're doing something. And it's not for a grade. It's because it's going to be something of value in the world. So that's what we, you know, scaffold through that. So I would say distance learning, you know, you're going to cover, I think, different things. I think you can, this is a time to go deep and make it be like, break it into chunks. Every week there's this piece to do, and kids create something of great value, you know, and also you don't have to get too deep into tools. You know, with this, of course, we moved totally into Spark, and my kids. So instead of making one poster or one thing that might take them a couple of weeks to make, they made 4. And then they pulled back and said, why, what is better? So we paired in their critical thinking skills, just like you said. And of course, as a designer, if I went to my client with or, you know, not just as a designer, if you are like a bank manager and you go to your bank president with one idea and they don't like it, you just wasted their time. You go with four ideas and say, let's talk about which one's the best. And then that will guide you. These are just skills for the life, right?
Exactly. And I'm so glad that you gave that example that we wouldn't necessarily associate with a creative, right? A creative career, but there's so much creativity in all the things that we do. So coming to someone and presenting with them, you know, a bunch of ideas or having a couple different pieces that you bring to the table, regardless of your industry, right, is really important. So getting kids to think through that brainstorming process, having all of their ideas, reflecting on what that looks like is just so important. So it's exciting to see the ways that people are rethinking what a traditional instruction might look like because we've been kind of forced into this new world or this new situation. But I really like what you mentioned about going deeper into big ideas as opposed to having students, right, kind of throwing a whole bunch of things at them, right, from afar. And, you know, we talked about the Spark tools today. I know there's lots of wonderful creative tools within just the Adobe world and the Adobe suite with everything that's out there. But I'm wondering if there's any tools that might be unexpected or someone might be surprised to think of as a creative tool. Is there anything you or your students have used or you've seen other people use that really foster creativity, even if it doesn't seem obvious on the surface?
Yeah. So I don't know if this is obvious or not. It's so fun because since I started in education, you know, my design background, so we were always making prototypes and building things. And I got into education and saw people suddenly, their very first idea, students, they were like 3D printing it, or they were building it, you know, in this very complex way. So for me, it's paper and glue and scissors, like particularly cardstock or index cards. And giving kids a few of those and say, okay, build this solution. Show me your thinking in three dimensions. We live in a three-dimensional world, but too often we have kids experience all of their learning in a two-dimensional world. And so especially now that so much of our learning may be coming from a computer, from a flat surface, getting kids off and saying, great, get some paper, some tape, some glue, and build us something, and then talk to us about it. That to me, it unleashes, you know, the third dimension. It brings out a playfulness in adults and children. We suddenly see everyone's thinking in a new way. And then you film it, you photograph it, you make a video out of it, you make a post out of it. But you bring in our three-dimensional world again. To me, that's something that I can't wait for more people to experience. I'm actually doing an event with ISTE the 31st. Of this month of July. And I'm going to be teaching everyone how to build with paper.
I love that. I love what you said about the three-dimensional learning versus the two-dimensional learning, because you're so right that sometimes everything is just flat, right? Our Google Docs are flat, right? Even sometimes our sketches or our notes inside of a book, right, are flat. And so bringing that to life and then capturing it, I know today during the launch party for the Adobe Creative Educators Program, Sherry shared a portfolios example and have all the pictures of different things, right? So we can snap pictures, we can chronicle all these things. And it was just really powerful to see. So thank you for sharing that. I think that idea of thinking three-dimensional, right, in the products that we're making, in the iterations that students have is a huge takeaway to think about what they can do, you know, outside of the classroom too, as we're tackling, you know, remote learning challenges. So Rebecca, how can listeners connect with you if they want to learn more about your work? Where can they follow along with you or just see what kind of things you're excited about this school year?
Well, I would say probably the best thing to do is on Twitter. And my Twitter handle is Rebecca Lou Hare. It's spelled just like it sounds, RebeccaLouHare. And I need to update my website as always. I'm always so busy either teaching or writing books or creating curriculum that I never get to update my website. So I have got to make that a thing, but I also have a website. And so through that Twitter handle, you can connect to my website. I have a couple of blog posts about three-dimensional thinking. So if someone's really interested in that, they can kind of get on and see what my favorite supplies are. And then, you know, we can connect obviously through the Adobe Creative Educator Program using the hashtag Adobe EDU Creative is a great way to see what other people are doing in our community. And, you know, and just going to into Twitter and seeing what everyone's doing on the community there and the Facebook group.
That sounds great. And I'll make sure to put all the links up to your resources, to the Twitter handle, to your books too, so people can find that. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you, Monica. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
I'm so glad we had a chance to chat so that you could hear all that Rebecca had to share about being a creative educator. Let's finish up this episode, like always, making this EdTech easy. First, determine your hang-ups around the word creative. Then, identify ways you're already a creative educator. Next, examine an upcoming lesson or activity to add creative elements. And finally, reflect and share your progress with another educator who is ready to be creative. In this episode, we talked about the Adobe Creative Educator Program. And if you've followed along for a while, you know that I love the Spark tools. I even have a book written with Ben Forda titled 40 Ways to Inject Creativity into Your Classroom with Adobe Spark. I've worked with their team and love all the things that they're up to, including this awesome Adobe Creative Educator Program. I'm a founding member too. If you want to learn more about the Adobe Creative Educator Program, head over to the show notes for this episode, classtechtips.com/podcast. It's free and you can join in and learn all about it by heading over to this page. I love bringing you free resources like this podcast to energize and elevate teaching and learning. Can you do me a favor? If you like the podcast, leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this. Tell a friend about the podcast or post a link to the episode on your social media. And if you'd like to stay connected, follow me at Class Tech Tips on Instagram or your favorite social network. I visit schools and conferences all over the world and support organizations remotely with webinars and virtual professional development. So if your organization is in need of professional learning, just send a message my way.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Easy EdTech Podcast wherever you're listening.